Well, I know it's probably a little bit late in life for me to discover this, but I finally know what I want to be when I grow up. I was reading an article last week and it helped me to decide. When I grow up, I want to be a super ager. Now, what's a super ager? I hear you asking everyone. Well, it's super ager is a person in their 70s or 80s or even older who exhibits the cognitive or physical function of someone who is middle-aged. And the great thing is that super agers are not just about genetics. In fact, studies show that these people, these super agers, mostly it's based on a product of their lifestyle. Now, there are some obvious lifestyle factors that contribute to being a super ager. As you can imagine, they're people that have spent their lives being physically active. They're people that eat a nutritious diet. They're also people that mentally challenge themselves. So in retirement, they might take up new hobbies or go back to university or maybe volunteer somewhere. But something that plays a big role in the lives of super agers is their social interactions. See, having good friends, being part of good social networks, having deep friendships, that really helps in super aging. Being part of a healthy community, it doesn't just benefit us in the here and now, but it has impact on our long-term physical health. We were designed to live in relationship with one another. We're meant to be part of these healthy communities. They should help us to function at our best. And you know, we believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is three, yet he is one. God's very essence is community. We find out who we are and we flourish in connection with one another. So surely our churches should be places where we build healthy communities. Building healthy communities should be our priority for us. And you know what? It is. Our mission statement that we have been unpacking over the last few weeks says that we share the love of Jesus by caring for people, by creating faith pathways, by building healthy communities, and by working for justice. Building healthy communities, facilitating relationships, connecting people, it's how we share the love of Jesus. And it's good for us as individuals as well. Now, I've recently discovered a bit of a failure in our church community. I don't know how this has happened, but recently it was brought to my attention that Jane, yes, our youth pastor Jane, has been in Australia for almost 3 years. She's been part of our faith community here for over 2 years now, and no one has bothered to introduce her to the castle. You know, the classic Australian film made in 1997, it's iconic, and Jane somehow has never seen it. She has no idea what any of us are talking about when we say, this is going straight to the pool room. And I just think that as a community, we've failed her. So I'm sorry, Jane. I'm pretty sure Richard is organising a movie night so you get to see the castle. But for those of you who have seen this classic Australian movie, you remember that it's a story about Daryl Kerrigan and about his family. They're about to lose their low-priced home in the suburbs, and they're about to lose it to this big airport expansion by a large corporate company. And the local community, they band together. They come together and oppose the plan, and it reaches the High Court. The best argument that the solicitor can come up with, you know, Solicitor Dennis, the best argument that he can offer is that it's against the vibe of Australia's constitution. In his closing remarks, he says, it's the vibe of it. It's the constitution. It's Mabo. It's justice. It's the law. And it's the vibe. And no, that's it. It's just the vibe. I rest my case. His claim turns out to be true. It was against the vibe. I'm sure you've all been part of communities where there is just a vibe. There's just this feel about it. Sometimes it's hard to pinpoint what it is. But you know it's there. Adrian read for us this morning from Acts, a description of the church as a healthy community, a community that is devoted to God and to one another, a community that looks out for each other, that shares their lives with one another. We get a certain vibe from that community, don't we? Reading about the early church, we get a sense of how it could be. But the reality is that that community isn't quite the same as our church community now. It's a different time, a different context. We can't necessarily live as they did, do what they do, but we want that same vibe, right? So this week, I've been thinking about some different communities that I've been a part of. Places where I've really felt as if there is this vibe, a healthy community. So today I want to share those communities with you because I think that they reveal traits that help us in building healthy communities. Hopefully they reveal a little bit more practically how we can get to that vibe, how we create communities with a healthy vibe. It's hard to pinpoint, but when each of us as individuals commit to doing some of these things, I think we'll see our church communities truly flourish. So in January 2019, I moved from Wollongong, the place that I had lived all my life, to Ringwood, Victoria. I entered training college in a very unfamiliar place with unfamiliar people and a very unfamiliar Salvation Army world. I really didn't know how I was going to build connections and community. In fact, I was a little bit scared about it. But somehow, little by little, class by class, activity by activity, dinner by dinner, healthy community was built. And you know, when it forms slowly and sort of naturally in that way, you sometimes don't even notice how it happens. And I probably didn't understand the power of that community till November in my first year of college. See, I was in a pretty terrible car accident. My friends and I were stopped at a stop sign when a passing vehicle lost control from the adjacent street and slammed into our car, pushed our car up onto the sidewalk and into someone's fence. The car was destroyed and we were not in a good way. I was a bit traumatized and pretty heavily concussed. But I learned something about my community that day. I learned that healthy communities show up for one another. See, there wasn't one person in my college community, cadets or staff, who didn't reach out to me at that time. People took care of the car and our belongings when we went off in an ambulance. People came to the hospital at ridiculous hours of the morning to take us home. People phoned, sent messages, made meals. People really showed up for me. Healthy communities show up for one another. Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong in the family of believers." See, when something happens in someone's life, you don't have to have the right words. Just show up. When something good happens, just show up. Be there. Show up with a meal. Show up with care. Show up with prayer. Just show up. In the tough times in my life, and in the times of victory and celebration, I don't remember really what people said to me, but I do remember who was there, who showed up for me. Healthy communities show up for one another. And as we do this, we continue the ongoing work of building healthy communities. I know so many of you do this for one another, but let's continue to be intentional about it. Let's keep building on it. Let's keep doing it more and more. The second community I want to tell you about today is a sporting community. When I was in my last couple of years of high school, I got to play basketball for New South Wales Christian Schools. And then a couple of years into university, I got to go away with the team as a coach. And we would go away to this competition called the CSSA, or Christian Schools Sports Association Games. It's definitely the closest I'm ever going to get to the Olympics, so that's a little sad, but it's not the point. Anyway, I was amazed at what happened at these games. You'd take all of these kids from different Christian schools across New South Wales, and you'd bring them together. Now, naturally, they formed relationships with their team members. They were united with a common interest. They wanted to win. They had a common goal. But what always amazed me is how united the team became across all the different sports. See, I'd take my basketball team to watch the swimming, and they would be yelling and cheering as if their best friend or their brother was competing, really, it was just some kid in the pool with a blue swimming cap on that they didn't know. Then you'd watch these kids who didn't know each other congratulate one another over a mealtime, and you'd see this connection start to form and happen. See, healthy communities are united with each other. They share something. They are joined together. They're one. And we, as part of the church, have the ultimate thing that is uniting us, our love and relationship with Jesus. See, that is our common ground. It's what draws us together. Ephesians 4:2-6 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Make every effort to keep united with one another. You know, sometimes unity takes work, or maybe sometimes it takes intentionality to keep in perspective what unites us. But united communities are healthy communities. Psalm 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." It is good to come together. It's good to cheer one another on. Healthy communities are united with one another. It's important for us also to keep in mind that unity is about oneness, but it's not about sameness. We are called to be one, but we are not called to be the same. Unity doesn't have to come at the expense of diversity. Our church is made up of all kinds of different people, just as our community is made up of all kinds of different people. It's possible for us to be diverse, yet united. And perhaps the truest measure of health is when a diverse community is a united one. Healthy communities are united with one another. The last community I want to tell you about is one that I was part of in 2019. As part of my college experience, I was appointed to a social placement at Recovery Church in Moonee Valley, which is just north of Melbourne City. This Recovery Church community would share a meal together and gather for worship. It was loud, it was often messy, it was sometimes raw, but this community was real. Nobody in this community wore a mask. See, most people in this community were in recovery of some form of addiction. And this was a safe place for them. There was no need to pretend. There was no need to make out like everything was okay. People were quick to open up, to share something of themselves, to ask questions of others. There was something so refreshing and beautiful about this community because of the sense of vulnerability. Their connections with one another ran so deep because they shared their lives so openly with one another, without judgment, without condescension, without fear of rejection. And through this group of people, I learned that healthy communities are vulnerable with each other. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." We are designed to share life, all of it, with one another. And part of life is sharing in the messy stuff. Part of healthy community is the mess. And you know, if we can't be vulnerable with people in our faith community of all places, then where can we feel safe? This should be the place where people can come and be their true self, a true expression of who God has created them to be, without judgment, without fear of rejection. We should be able to be real with one another. Healthy communities are vulnerable with one another. It takes guts sometimes to share the hard stuff with people, but we are so much richer as we share in all the parts of life with people in our communities. So healthy communities, they show up for one another. Healthy communities are united with one another, and healthy communities are vulnerable with one another. But the thing that we have to keep reminding ourselves of is that healthy communities don't just exist, they are built. We are delusional if we think that just because we are a church, we are a healthy community. It's a myth that something magical happens when you walk through the doors of this building. It doesn't just happen. Healthy community is built as we show up for one another. It's built as we unite together. It's built as we are vulnerable with one another. We share the love of Jesus by building healthy communities. We want people to walk through this building, walk through these doors into our programs and sense that good vibe, that vibe that is hard to pinpoint but feels so strong. So I want you to ask yourself today, what can you do as an individual to build healthy communities? Are you showing up for people? Are you united? Are you bringing that spirit of unity to our church? Are you vulnerable with people in a safe way? I love that this statement uses the word building. To me, it implies that it takes a lot of us to make it work. And it also implies that this work is ongoing. And you know, building sometimes takes hard work. True community won't make your life easier. In fact, true community will probably make your life harder. Taking on other people's burdens, getting involved in the mess, it's harder, but it's infinitely richer. We are made for community, and it takes each one of us to participate in building it together.